When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Welcome back. Niners fall to the Rams 12-6. The Niners now 6-8, and it feels like their season is essentially over at this point. This was an ugly football game. No touchdowns for either team. The 49ers waste a great defensive performance. They waste an incredible first half from Dre Greenlaw, who returned from his Achilles tear that happened 8 months ago now. 10 months ago now in February in the Super Bowl, and the 49ers fall in their season now on the brink. They're 6-8, and it's gotten worse post-game because we have learned that Devondre Campbell has essentially quit on this football team. Kyle Shanahan speaking post-game saying that Devondre Campbell, essentially said he did not want to play in this football game once he was asked to fill in for Dre Greenlaw, who needed to sit out the majority of the second half because of some calf soreness and fatigue as he returns from that injury. Sterling, this was a disastrous night for the 49ers in a season that has already been disastrous enough.
It kind of sums it up, though, right? Like, 2024 has been a mess, and to end it like this, essentially on a mess of a player you signed to fill a void for the better half of a season, is like, nah, I'm not going to play anymore for you, and you lose the game, which, funny enough, we haven't talked about in the last 25 minutes, it feels like, but, I mean, this has been 2024 for San Francisco. It's just a mess. The team can't focus, the offense can't find a way to get into the end zone, Deebo Samuel is a shell of himself, Brock Purdy, who tonight said he failed the team, he did. Like, this team just really hasn't been great all year, and for Devondre Campbell, a player who also hasn't been great all year, to quit on the team, like, yeah, that is the 2024 San Francisco 49ers, and oddly enough, if Seattle loses on Sunday, there's still a chance, but just a crazy night. Like, to hear that a backup decides to quit is crazy. Like, this is not Vontae Davis retiring. He's refusing to play, and I'm sure he hopes to play again somewhere else next year. It's also a player in Devondre Campbell who told the entire world after he was let go by Green Bay last offseason that, like, someone's going to get a great football player. Well, I'm looking for him, and he didn't play this year for San Francisco, and they were looking for the player that was playing for San Francisco this year in the third quarter. He wasn't there either. So it's like, all righty, let's see where this thing leads.
Yeah, and George Kittle has spoken post-game. He says, quote, on the Devondre Campbell situation, if you're just joining us, Devondre Campbell refused to enter the game in the second half when Kyle Shanahan asked him to. George Kittle says, quote, it's very dumb, very stupid, very immature. I don't see how you can do that to your teammates. So you have, I mean, of course, it's going to go this way. Every single other teammate on the 49ers is absolutely saying that everything that's going on with Devondre Campbell is absolutely terrible. And that's what the Niners, I mean, George Kittle last week called out the entire team for the lack of energy throughout the entire season, the team not playing with the right desire that they needed to, the right desperation. And then this is what happens. This is, as you're pointing out, Sterling, very, very indicative of what kind of has been the whole season for the 49ers.
Well, Kittle also added that, I've never been around anybody that's done that. I hope I'm never around anyone that does that again.
Wow. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like
he's
a teammate.
He's not welcome back in San Francisco.
This sounds
if
like
he
a
walks
teammate.
Back in there, get out.
This sounds like a teammate. Sorry to jump on you there, Sterling. This sounds like a teammate, Kyle, that has been not well liked in the locker room for a lot of this season, even before tonight.
Yeah, man. Maybe this is some galvanizing moment. I know the playoff hopes are 0.1%. I saw somebody did the list of the somebody.
Oh God!
Somebody did a list of the way they make it, and it's just it's insane. Like it's ludicrous. That's why their chances are 0.1% to make the postseason. But we said this after the loss to Buffalo. It's like everything that happens the rest of this year, if they make the playoffs, okay, whatever. But everything that happens the rest of this year is about what does it mean for 2025 for me? Like that's kind of how this looks. And the fact that you've got Chevarius Ward who is like, yeah, that guy's gonna get cut. That's sucker stuff. And you've got George Kittle being like, I hope I'm never around a player like that again. That's not something you do to your teammates, da 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 da. Like that shows at least to me. This locker room is in the right space mentally.
Yeah.
And that's a really big deal for a team that's 6-8 that had Super Bowl hopes when the season began. So, like, trying to zoom out and catch the 30,000-foot view of this, the fact that the 49ers are responding in this way makes me feel really good about where they're at for going into next year. And ideally, the 49ers, when they're making their acquisitions this offseason, whether it's in free agency or through the draft, are really hammering down to make sure that whatever players they bring in are here to row the same direction and are here for the betterment of the team and the program, and not here because it was an opportunity to start, and when they don't get to start anymore, they're going to take their ball and go home. That's whack. That yeah. sucks. So I love that George Kittle has this response. I love that Chevarius Ward had this response. I'm sure we're going to get more such responses trickling out as the days go by here. Good riddance, Devondre Campbell. He was one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the reasons that the defense was so bad this year.
Yeah.
Congrats.
No doubt.
Good legacy.
888-957-9570. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Fozzie's been hanging out. Fozzie from the East Bay. What's up, Fozzie? You're on Overtime with Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett. What do you got?
Yeah, what's up, boys? Real quick, man, just to touch on that Devondre Campbell thing, man. Yeah, it sounds like none of the guys really liked him before. And for me, as a fan, he would look like the worst starter on the team. So, yeah, good riddance. And that last drive to stop the Rams on that third down where essentially Stafford hits their tight end to ice the game, mm-hmm. I was mad at the time, but now that makes a lot more sense because they looked completely unprepared and that tight end was uncovered. And now we know that, you know, we had a backup linebacker there and it looked like Hufanga was playing linebacker there for a second, but we'll probably find out more about that tomorrow or whatever. But the reason for my call was because of Debo. You know, I love Debo, a lot of great memories for him. And it just sucks to see him on the decline. And now he's got to eat this huge, big old piece of humble pie and possibly eating that on the way out the door. And for the fans to be booing him like that, man, I don't want us doing that to a great player, man. So, man, you know, as much as he was a great player for us, man, Debo, you got to eat what you said on Twitter yesterday. You know, them Twitter fingers that got you in trouble with the fans, and now you come out here and lay an egg. You got to reap what you sow, and you're probably out the door next year. Cheers, boys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Fozzie. Yeah, it's hard for me to swallow the way that the Debo experience has gone this year. I know, Kyle, you feel like the boos are deserved, and I know every Niner fan there who booed felt that way, and I don't disagree with you necessarily. But there's just so much emotion, you know, that I feel with Debo Samuel. And for the vast majority of those emotions, they're positive. Like, Debo Samuel has been amazing for this football team, and it's hard for me to forget about all of that. But when he goes out on Twitter and he makes a loss, or a win, excuse me, a much-needed win about him, and he goes out saying he hasn't been getting touches when he has indeed been getting touches, it's just simply not him doing as much with those touches as he has in the past. And then you follow that up with, for some reason, Kyle Shanahan feeling like he has to force-feed Debo Samuel. It still doesn't work. He then drops one of the most important plays of the game that turns the game around, and you lose and your season is over as a result. I don't blame any fans for feeling the need to boo Debo Samuel in that moment, but I also don't blame a fan like Fozzie who feels like Debo Samuel doesn't deserve those boos because of everything he's done up to that point as a member of the 49ers.
I'll grapple with my feelings about Debo Samuel's career I'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm pissed. Like, you're going to, I don't get mad when a player doesn't perform well. That happens. Especially when you're Debo Samuel and you had so many carries and receptions and you play as hard as he does. I'd be dealing with an injury thing. Like, it's okay. Not playing well is the thing. But when you go out on Twitter and you make it about you and you make it about your opportunities and he says he wasn't throwing his teammates under the bus, it's like, well, that's about Kyle Shanahan or Brock Purdy. You're throwing somebody under the bus because you're absolving yourself of blame here. And I think that stinks. And to go out and I go, all right, well, maybe he comes out and he balls out tonight and proves everybody wrong. Would love to see that. Nope, proved everybody absolutely correct. So I'm with you, Mark. This doesn't, for me, like, tarnish his legacy or whatever with the 49ers, but I'll figure out how I feel about Debo Samuel long term down the road. Right now, it feels like he needs to not be wearing a Niner uniform anymore. That's where I see it right now.
Or at least take the C off his chest, because that's a problem to me. If you're gonna be the one that walks up to Jake Moody and Tabor Pepper and puts hands on your teammate and wants to keep them accountable. And wants to say, hey, you're screwing up. Pick it up. Tighten it up. Lock in Jake Moody. And yeah, Jake Moody needed to lock in. He was not great against Tampa Bay. But for you to do that with a C on your chest, and then later, in the biggest win of the year against Chicago last week, you didn't play great. to make it about yourself, to blame the head coach, to blame the quarterback, to say, hey, you're not giving me the ball enough, when in fact you are the least effective player on the offense, and you get the ball more than everybody else still does, not named Jordan Mason. To make that about yourself, and then to walk out there tonight knowing that you are banking on yourself to perform like you did in 2021, to play like the all-pro you used to be, and you lay an egg, you lay a stinker. In fact, you can argue it was worse than an egg, because the plays you didn't make cost San Francisco even more than the plays you did make. And so you leave the game, and the fans are booing you, rightfully so. You made it about yourself, you brought it on yourself, and when you asked yourself and banked on yourself to perform, you were a no-show. What does that mean? That is exactly who Deebo Samuel is at this point in time. He's a front-runner. It's all talk. There's no big hits. There's no lowering your shoulder and running through cornerbacks and safeties. It is a one-hit, and he's down. 2 yards and he's down. It's blame somebody else for my problems. Look in the mirror, man. Like, I get it. The offensive line hasn't been great this year at certain times on screen passes. Guys don't get out fast enough. You get hit early. I get that. But when you look at what you've done this year with the touches you've been given, and in fact, the touches you really have not earned this year, it is insane to think that you had any right to go on social media and ask for more of them. And it's even worse to say that, oh, well, I didn't play great tonight, and then put on a performance like this. You dropped the biggest play of the game. He should apologize to us and his team. Like what? I get it. We all love Deebo. There is a fan like Fozzie in every single one of us that loves Deebo Samuel. But right now in 2024, I don't want to be that fan. I'm angry. Like Kyle. I'm upset because he's supposed to be better than this. Someone has to keep Deebo accountable for his terrible play. And no one has thus far, and he's blaming other people. I don't want a player like that on my team. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you got the Deebo Samuel from 2021 or, hell, even a couple of years ago, or 2019 when he was a rookie, like,
all those
Deebos are miles better than the Deebo we've seen so far this year, and that very easily could have been the difference in the Niners winning or losing this football game.
Since yelling at Jake Moody, by the way, and punching Tabor Pepper in the throat, Deebo Samuel, 26 targets, 14 catches, 101 yards, 8 carries for 15 yards in 5 games.
It's not great.
Yuck. Yeah.
Not great. In fact, that is actually very, very, very bad over the course of five football games.
Yep.
Yes, very much so. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. Up next is Roshan, who's in Vegas. Roshan, what's up? You're on overtime. It's Grandy Kyle Sterling with you. How you doing, Roshan?
Doing good, guys. How you doing? I don't even know where to start. Basically, I'm just going to kind of sum it up with, like, the previous callers. You know, Deebo, he's basically tried to reinvent himself this season, you know, changing the number, coming in, losing weight in camp and everything, but he hasn't come back with that same fire. He hasn't shown that he needs to be the main focus of this offense, because after we lost CMC, you know, they keep trying to run back to Deebo, go back to the well, and he's not producing. They refuse to give Kittle the same type of attention that teams like Kansas City gives Kelce. You know, Kelce may not have the numbers as Kittle right now, but he's a winner. He's helping his team produce wins. And you know, back to Purdy, he, you know, everybody said he was a system quarterback. Last year, that kind of didn't prove that, but it's starting to look like that. He's a system quarterback, and our system is failing. Shanahan is not who he used to be. He can't get into his bag, as people like to say. He's running out of scheme. He's running out of trick plays. And wins like last week, everybody got happy, and I was happy too, but I knew it was against the Bears. You know, we look good against a bunch of practice dummies, but against a team that's fighting for their playoff hopes and a chance to go to the Super Bowl, our true colors show. But I think it's time to just roll it up, let everybody, you know, kind of get healed up, Greenlaw, Bosa, and Purdy, because Purdy doesn't look right. His arm is definitely suspect. That last pass where he got picked off, there was no oomph under it. And you know, he shouldn't have gone that deep. There's plenty of passes that could have been made, but, you know, he went that route, and that cost us the game. You know, and then at the end, they're trying to play scramble drill, and there was no time left.
Yeah.
There's no time left.
Yeah, Roschon, I mean, at that point, the game's over, and you lost it on that interception. And Roschon is right about that interception by Brock Purdy. Oddly enough, that might be something, obviously, that was more detrimental to losing or winning this game in that moment. Honestly, that throw in that moment might be less of a concern for me of Brock Purdy's, but of some of the other ones, because Purdy generally is like a good decision maker. That's just a moment where there was a terrible decision that he made. But when we talk about the restrictions of Brock Purdy as a quarterback, I mean, it's the deep ball that he hasn't been able to hit this year. It was the Ricky Pearsall throw just before that interception to Juwan Jennings. Ricky Pearsall runs right past the DB, has a walk-in touchdown if Brock Purdy leads him. It's underthrown, nearly picked off as a result. Earlier, Kyle, you pointed this one out. It was a throw over the middle to Deebo Samuel. I believe it was on the 2nd and 20 after the George Kittle penalty, which set the Niners back, and it kind of ruined that drive. Deebo had a step, and if you loft it over the top of the defender, you put enough air under it, Deebo Samuel makes that catch. Who knows, maybe he breaks it and it's a 70-yard touchdown or whatever it would have been. And both of those throws were pretty severely underthrown, and those are things when you are leading an offense that is down again to, you know, your fourth string running back, and you don't have your star left tackle, and in the future you're going to be making X amount of money, and it's going to hamper what you can put around him. Those are the throws that your quarterback has to make, and Brock Purdy too often this year is just not making those throws.
Yeah, especially in money time, man. Like, the throws have to be better. The decision-making, Sterling, you pointed this out earlier, and I was watching it again at one of the breaks. The interception to Jennings, there's not a quarterback in the league that's fitting that throw in. There's a defensive back behind him. There's another one in front of him. There's another safety coming over from across the field. Like, there was no window there. So it's the decision making. The decision making from Purdy all year has been really suspect. He's indecisive. He's bouncing around in the pocket. He was like jumping in the pocket today.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just super odd. I don't know if it's the caller mentioned the scheme stuff with Shanahan, how it's just old and it's played out. And I do think that they need to make some pretty wholesale offensive changes. But a lot of what their offense is predicated on is like being able to move defenders with Christian McCaffrey and being able to move defenders and manipulate defenders with Deebo Samuel. And when McCaffrey's not on the field and Deebo Samuel's not the threat that he used to be, defenses aren't going to react the same way. And that's what the 49ers offense is built around, is defenses reacting a certain way to certain things, and the 49ers just don't have the dudes to operate in the offense that they've built. And Mark, you asked Greg Cosell this, I believe, on Willard and Dibbs when you were filling in, and he basically said, like, you can't make wholesale offensive changes midseason. You can't make fundamental changes to what the foundation of your offense is while you're also trying to prepare to play an opponent. So that's what I'm looking for this offseason. Whatever has caused Brock Purdy to suddenly be this indecisive quarterback who refuses to take a check down, whatever it is that's wrong with the Deebo Samuel stuff, scrap it all. Like, ground zero, there's new personnel. The Niners offense needs to look different this year. Needs to look different next year, because whatever the heck this was, tonight wasn't a one-off. Tonight was the accumulation of a season of yuck for me.
Which is so weird, because they played almost a perfect game against the Bears, who are a better defense than the Rams. I get there's NFC West, division games are always tougher than the other ones, and the Bears' offense isn't great, and they're in turmoil, and they change their head coach and whatnot. I totally get that. But Shanahan called a perfect game against the Bears.
He did.
And Brock was almost perfect against Chicago's defense. And there were still a few throws he missed, that one to Pearsall, a deep downfield similar to tonight. I get it. There was probably a little more miscommunication on that play, but this one wasn't tonight. This one was a pure, I just missed him. And I don't know if it's the shoulder for Brock. he just looks uncomfortable, and he has all year long, and we tried to justify it early in the year. Well, there's no Christian McCaffrey. Well, Debo's not playing well. Well, Brandon Ayuk didn't have the offseason. Okay, those things still exist. Those are factors in maybe his down play this year. That's fine. But it can't be the reason for it, right? It can't be the reason why you're not making throws. Like, he missed a wide-open Debo Samuel tonight that flew in the middle of the field where nobody else was. Like, when you're lofting throws, like, the ball tonight was just lofted in the air, rainbows, which Brock doesn't have the best arm. But then when you know you don't have the best arm, when you know it's wet, you don't play great in the rain, and you want to take deep shots downfield, you're 0 for 7, like Mark said, on throws 20-plus yards downfield, then stop trying them. Like, I get it, you can't just outright stop, but, like, overall, like, don't be afraid to take your checkdowns. If they're going to give you a free 7 yards, take it. That's what made Jimmy Garoppolo so effective in San Francisco. It's what made Brock so effective last year. Check down, check down, check down. Then it opened things up. Boom, big play. And so, yes, changes have to be made, but for Brock, I get it. There's a weight on his shoulders we don't understand, right? He has no idea. Like, we have no idea what's happening in that building. I mean, players are quitting, so who knows what's happening inside Niners HQ, but it just feels like he has not settled in at all this year. And you hope he can bounce back, but now you're having conversations like we've had tonight about who is Brock Purdy. And I'm not sure San Francisco knows, which really bothers me too.
Yeah, for sure. 888-957-9570. Let's sneak in one more call before we take a quick break. Dom has been waiting in San Francisco. Dom, what's up? You're on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm just curious about the 49ers. The offense, could have played more better than this, you know what I mean? They could have played more better. The defense was good, I give credit to. But the offense just got to improve more next year. You know, the offense got to improve.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, Dom, absolutely. I mean, today was, I mean, it's the worst offensive performance we've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era. One of the worst offensive games we've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era, period. Maybe
it was the worst.
If you look at it, at least from like 2019 on, when the team was actually a good football team, no doubt. I mean, they were absolutely terrible tonight all game long.
It was, I don't know. You can look at a million different metrics and determine a thing is good or bad. But just eye test.
And considering what was on the line. And
stakes.
Yep.
Available players, because I know, I'm sure there were worse offensive games in 2017 and 2018. Those were some not awesome teams. But this was heinous. You scored 6 points with the season on the line?
Against a Rams defense that is not very good.
Against a Rams defense that had 42 points hung on it last week. You scored
on
6?
A short week.
Zero touchdowns?
86 rushing yards allowed the last 3 weeks on average.
Not one, and you didn't score one touchdown?
You had, what was the rushing
totals? Didn't even
totals
get close? Didn't
game.
Even get into the red zone?
63 rushing yards, 3.3 a pop on the ground for the
Yum.
Niners today.
And
not good.
That was with a 15-yard carry in there.
Yeah.
Like they didn't even, one way to solve the red zone scoring, just don't go to the red zone. Yeah, sure.
Can't like, get that's any worse, what, I guess.
This is so damaging, dude. This was really, really bad. To in this spot lay that big of an egg. The Kyle Shanahan stuff is not going to get any quieter after that.
Absolutely, no doubt. Sterling, we got to take, or you have a quick update for us?
Very small thing.
Yeah.
Billy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo's brother, put on Instagram, offensive guru, 2 laughing emojis regarding Kyle Shanahan. So the hits keep coming. Former quarterback's brothers are hating on Kyle Shanahan tonight.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo got a win at Levi's tonight. That's
in his return.
In case you forgot, okay. Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup quarterback for the Rams. So
yeah, he's the backup quarterback for the Rams because he stinks. And Kyle Shanahan made him a lot of money. Get Jimmy Garoppolo and his brother the hell out of here.
Yeah, well said. All right, time for a break. When we come back, more of your calls. Caleb, I know you've been patient. Travis, I see you as well. Dylan and Richard, we're coming to you. There's a lot of you on hold. We're with you all night long. If you stay patient, we will get to. We're coming to you next. 888-957-9570. It's Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Grandy, Kyle, Sterling, more next on 95.7 The Game.